Or you can just finally admit you were wrong about something. Well, I've been wrong about a lot of things in prophecy. And I think it's foolish to believe that you can interpret prophecy correctly. You just keep changing your mind until you get a best fit. So in BTC, I talked about something that I have really changed my mind about. I indicated in the first book I ever wrote, Tectonic Chaos, I put something in there that's quite different from what I'm teaching you now. But I'd rather eat a little bit of crow now and have a better chance of not getting rebuked at the judgment seat of Christ than to just keep teaching the same thing and try to defend something I don't believe anymore. The mark of the beast sold out to Antichrist. Who are these people? Like I say, you know the history. I used to be a first of the week, then I switched to the middle of the week. Finally, I switched to the seventh trumpet, and I'm probably going to stay there. I really believe I will until the day I die, because these are things that have evolved in my life. I was taught by some wonderful men these different positions. I thank God for them. I bear them no animosity. I love them just as much now as I did when they taught them to me, but I don't agree with a lot of them anymore on this rapture. Revelation 24, who are these people? And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. Now, those that are beheaded for the witness of Jesus, for the word of God, you can put them in all the ages. That's been true in every age of mankind that have been killed, beheaded, martyred for their witness of God, of Jesus. But these others here, which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, these people had to be here, and they had to be exposed to it, and they had to have the opportunity to either receive or reject it. And these are children of God. And quite frankly, I'll just put it bluntly, I feel like that the majority of them are church members. I believe they're people that are martyred for their testimony of the Lord, and I believe it's something that God means for us instead of dreading it. Thank God for the opportunity to have it happen to us. Our carnal man doesn't like the idea, but our spiritual man should. Now, these are two verses of Scripture that I talked about extensively in BTC, and right after it was over, Rosie asked me some questions about it, which I knew people would be curious about because I raised the question. These are Scriptures I have changed my mind about. In my first book, I had these people going to an entirely different place, and like I say, I waxed poetic. I had a beautiful scenario of this. I was taught it by other men. I'm not blaming them, but they taught me some things about this that I don't believe anymore. And after they taught me, being a writer, I waxed very eloquent and I painted a beautiful picture of these two verses of Scripture. The only problem is my analysis and my interpretation was wrong. Luke 17:37 and Matthew 24:28. And they answered and said unto him, Where, Lord? And he said unto them, Wheresoever the body is, thither will the eagles be gathered together. So the first New Testament church has just asked him a question about some people that were taken somewhere. And they want to know where they were taken. And they, the first New Testament church, answered and said unto him, the Lord Jesus, Where, Lord? Where have these people been taken? And he said unto them, Wheresoever the body is, thither will the eagles be gathered together. So since this involved the time of the rapture and that general time frame, I painted a beautiful picture of this. I was taught it as a child. I never heard anything different. So I said, just as the body of Christ appears in the heaven and people are caught up, not that people would see him, but all the saved would see him, and I said they would be caught up like great monster eagles flying up to meet the body, Christ, in the air, the body of Christ. And oh, it sounded good, and it looked good in the book, and I tell you what, preachers. Oh, the preachers, most of them just loved it. They said, oh, I've taught that all my life. That's just exactly what I believe. Well, old dumb me. You know, you got to learn, and you've got to learn. So as I kept on studying the Greek language after I got out of school, I discovered that most scholars believe those aren't eagles. They're vultures. And even the ones that believe they're eagles admit that the Hebrew eagle has vulture characteristics. And I discovered something else about that body. Now, there in Luke 17:37, I didn't have any problem with it because soma was used. That can be a living body or it can be a dead body. So you've got a choice. Soma can be a live body or it can be a dead body. So I said, okay, it's a live body, it's the body of Christ, and the eagles are the saved that are drawn up to him in the air, and thus shall we ever be with the Lord, and sounded great. But as you study the Scriptures, and you can accuse me of many things, and I'd be guilty, but don't ever accuse me of not studying the Scriptures. And I do try to be honest with myself. It wasn't long until this thing came out. What is this body that these eagles are drawn to? Are these eagles? Are they real eagles? What kind of eagles? Well, they're either vultures or they're eagles with vulture characteristics. All the scholars agree on one of those two things. When does this occur? Where does it occur? Where are these people being gathered? Where, Lord? Now notice in Matthew 24:28, for wheresoever the carcass is, same scenario, same description. But Matthew doesn't leave me any leeway. because he uses a different word for body. It's a carcass. It's a dead carcass. Luke left me in a loophole. It could be living or dead, either one. But Matthew didn't give me any slack. It's a carcass. It's a dead body. Here is something pictured by a dead body. There will the eagles be gathered together. What this pictures in plain Arkansas terminology is a dead body. Now we're going to talk about what this dead body is. And a bunch of vultures or carnivorous eagles, whatever you want to call them, that are circling in the heavens above this dead body, getting ready to eat it or devour it. I'm sorry, but I can't make that the body of Christ up in the heavens and these wonderful little clean bred eagles heading up toward it. Can't do it anymore. The language won't allow me. So I'm faced with one or two things. Either I can keep forgetting this, or I can talk about it. I think God means for me to talk about it, because this scripture is very often misinterpreted, and I don't believe what I originally wrote. When does this occur in the tribulation period? Well, you've just looked at Matthew 28. For wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together. So to get an idea of when this occurs in the tribulation period, let's just look at the next two verses after Matthew 28. Let's look at Matthew 24, 29, and 30, the next two verses, and that'll give us an idea of when this gathering is going to occur. Matthew 24, 29, and 30. Immediately after the tribulation of those days associated with this gathering. Verse 28, for wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together. So something is going to cause great tribulation when this gathering occurs. And then he tells us, immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of heaven shall be shaken. So I'll tell you without hesitation what I now believe, and will probably believe until I die. This is, it is a gathering of people to a final battlefield in Israel known as the Battle of Armageddon. And this carcass pictures the body of all the unbelievers. It's a body, but it's not a local church. It's a body representing all the unbelievers that are gathered together, and they're going to be right there on the hills of Israel in the Battle of Armageddon, and they're going to be taken there and drawn there by God, and then God's going to zap them, and he's going to turn them into buzzard bait, vulture bait, carnivorous eagle, whatever you want to call it. Because this is the Battle of Armageddon that this is referring to, and it's talking about men and women being taken to the Battle of Armageddon. It is not talking about the rapture. Now, immediately after the tribulation of those days, the Battle of Armageddon, when this catching out, this taking to Israel in the battle occurs, shall the sun be darkened, the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, the powers of heaven shall be shaken. And I want you to notice what happens right after that. And then shall appear the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn. Now, this is not the coming of the Lord at the rapture. This is not the catching out on the seventh trumpet. This is not what we call the rapture. This is not what we call the first resurrection. This is what happens after it, and this is what happens when Jesus comes back with all the saints that he's gathered out before. I believe the rapture will occur something like around approximately, who knows, 45 days before the end of the tribulation period. They'll be caught up, judged in heaven. They won't be there very long, and then this is when they come back. When Jesus catches out the saints in the air, and I went through this morning in great detail in that tape, and I mean I went into meticulous detail, and I used reams of scripture to prove my point. The rapture occurs before this. The Battle of Armageddon occurs after the rapture. All hell breaks loose on the earth. Then you have tremendous, which is what you see in verse 29. And then here comes Jesus. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. This is what is known as the revelation of Jesus Christ, to be completely exposed, to see, to be visible. First you have the catching out, meeting him in the air, the judgment. Then you have him coming back and his actual appearing. This is the coming of Jesus with the saints, after he gathered them out at an earlier time, not too long before this, and now he's coming back with them. The gathering of carnivorous birds takes place shortly before Christ's coming with the saints. Now here we see, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of glory with power and great glory. The gathering of carnivorous birds takes place shortly before Christ's coming with the saints. It occurs after the saints have been raptured. The saints go up. The Battle of Armageddon occurs. All hell breaks loose. That's the tribulation of those days. Then Jesus comes back with the saints after the Battle of Armageddon. God's wrath is not going to be poured out on this earth while his saints are here. And those vials of wrath are going to be poured out, and it's going to be unbelievably horrible on this earth. Now, the Battle of Armageddon, I don't expect to be here. I expect to be being judged at the judgment seat of Christ in heaven. And this morning, I went through tremendous detail on that. I made a case that I think is an excellent case. I feel very good and at rest with the Spirit of God on it. And when I've got something I'm not certain about, He just bugs the daylights out of me. And He has always bugged me on this. Well, I'm tired of being bugged. So, and He doesn't bug me at what I'm showing you at all. Now let's take a look at 17, 34 through 37. And let's take a look at what happens on this that leads up to verse 37. In verse 37, you have the first New Testament church saying, "Where, Lord?" In other words, where are these people going to be taken? And now we start off in Luke 17, 34, and we're going to go right down to 37, and we're going to see what comes before this catching out. Luke 17, 34, 37. "I tell you, in that night there shall be two men in one bed. The one shall be taken, and the other shall be left." Verse 35. "Two women shall be grinding together. The one shall be taken, and the other left." Verse 36. "Two men shall be in the field. The one shall be taken, and the other left." Now, as a young preacher, as a young man growing up in our churches, it made absolute good sense to me to make that the rapture. I mean, it was just child's play, because anyone could see that's the rapture. And the problem is, people have seen it for so long, I don't know if I'll ever be able to talk you out of it, some of you, but in any case, they're taken. But where are they taken? Well, I made a beautiful picture of them being taken up to heaven and all these terrible wicked sinners being left on this earth. There goes the saved out, there goes the churches out there taken to heaven, praise the Lord, hallelujah, and went through the whole thing. But that is not what that is, because you've got to take Scripture in context. I didn't know how to do that too well when I got here. Now I know I don't know how to do it too well, but I'm better at it. Verse 37. Now look at what the first New Testament church asked me. "And they answered and said unto him, Where, Lord?" Well, take a look at it. What are they asking? There are three of them taken here, three of them left. He said, "Where are they going to be taken, Lord?" These people that are taken. And they answered and said unto him, "Where, Lord?" And then he gave them the answer. And he said unto them, "Wheresoever the body is." Now Matthew establishes it's a dead body. You can't tell from Luke, it can be either one. But since Matthew nails it down, and since Luke can be either one, we know it's a dead body. And Christ is not a dead body. He's very much alive. "Thither will the eagles be gathered together." Now if these were so sharp, beautiful, bald eagles like the American eagle, nice clean birds that soar, and you put them on postcards, and they're the national emblem of purity and sanctity, if that's the kind of bird this was, then I might be able to say, well, I don't know. But this is a type of a vulturous eagle. And this eagle will eat fresh meat, or he will eat meat that hasn't been dead too long. And so what we have here is a picture of a body. Well, who makes up the body? Those that are taken. We believe the church is a local visible body of scripturally baptized believers coveted together to carry out the Great Commission on this earth. It's local and it's visible. This is a gigantic body. And it's also visible. And it's going to be visible all over the mountains of Israel. And it's a body made up of all unbelievers who go there to fight against God's children in the Negev wilderness at the final battle of Armageddon, when the Antichrist calls them, and they're his followers and they're unbelievers, and they make up a body of unbelief. And God's going to zap them right there, and God pulls them in. He takes them there, and he makes sure they get there because they're unbelievers. And brother, they're going to be laying as buzzard bait, as one gigantic body of flesh representing a body of unbelief that's going to be punished by God. What is the answer to their question? They say, "Where, Lord? Where are these men and women taken?" Well, let's take a look at some other scriptures and some other things that talk about it. But first, we've looked at Luke, and we went from verse, 34 down to 37. Now let's take a look at the same description in Matthew 24, 40 and 41. And then we'll look at what it says in 28. Matthew 24, 40 and 41, which is the same as Luke 17, verses 34, 35, 36. "Then shall two be in the field, the one shall be taken, and the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, the one shall be taken, and the other left." It was really hard for me to accept this, because all my life I'd taught that that was the rapture. And it sure does look good, it sure does sound good, it even smells good, and it seems to make sense. And so for me to change my mind about this, you don't know what a traumatic experience it was. And I changed it, I guess, sometime around 1982. And I've just left it in my books, left it alone all this time, because I didn't think it was that important. But the truth of the matter is, it's getting close to the time of the rapture. I don't know when it's going to occur. And I might as well at least tell you what I believe about this before it happens. Now, let's look at verse 28. Remember, they asked him, "Where, Lord?" Where are they taken? Where are they left? Matthew 24, 28. "For wheresoever the carcass is," dead body, that body represents all the unbelievers who are the followers of Antichrist, and they take the mark, and they worship the beast, and they fall down before his image. They all gather together as one huge body of unbelief. They gather in Israel to fight God's people. They are the despisers of the church that's been left here. They're the ones that are going to be persecuting it. And there on the mountains of Israel, he's going to sacrifice all of these unbelievers, and they're going to become buzzard bait for the vulturous birds of every type that fly over Israel. The carcass represents the body of unbelievers who are taken by God to the place of its destruction in the Battle of Armageddon. Those left behind will not take the beast's mark. You say, what about those people left behind? One's taken, one left. Well, there's something that's absolutely certain, and anyone who studies the Bible at all is acutely aware of it. At this particular period in time, what we call the last part of the tribulation period, you've got three types of people on this earth. You've got people who are saved, born-again children of God. You've got people who are believers and followers of Antichrist. They represent the body that's going to be buzzard bait. And then you've got some other people here that aren't saved, but they don't take the mark. Now, when Jesus comes back, I'll guarantee you in the last chapter of Zechariah, there are some people here that are going to come up and worship the King of Israel that are still in bodies of flesh. So you've got to have three different categories of people here. Now, the rapture occurs before this. The rapture occurs just before the Battle of Armageddon, and the saints are taken out. So here we are. The Battle of Armageddon is beginning to start. It's just about ready. The people are being gathered. Some of the people don't go. Some of the people stay. Some are left. Some of those that are left are going to go into the tribulation period. We'd be here all night if I tried to tell you what I believe about the criteria that will be used to determine who does and who doesn't. But I'll simply tell you this. There have to be three categories of people here. The saved have already been taken out just before the Battle of Armageddon on the blowing of the seventh trumpet. But you still have two types of people left here. Those who have taken the mark of the beast, those who have worshipped his image, those who are following him, and a some that aren't. Those who aren't are left behind. The rest of them head for Israel, and they're going to destroy the nation of Israel, God's chosen people. Those left behind will not take the beast's mark. Those taken do not represent the saved being raptured to heaven, but those drawn to the final battle of Armageddon in Israel. For years I taught that they were drawn up to heaven, the ones that were taken. It isn't true. They're drawn by God. They're drawn to the same God, but they're not taken up to heaven. They're unbelievers, and they're drawn to the final battle of Armageddon. Revelation 19, 16 through 21. And here they are. And here's what happens to the body that's gathered. Revelation 19, 16 through 21. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. This is the Lord Jesus Christ that is coming with the saints at the end of the tribulation period. He comes to end the battle of Armageddon. Here is the body of unbelievers on the hills of Israel, and here are the vulturous birds of every type and character, carnivorous eagles, vultures, the whole shtick, and they're eating the bodies of these men, which represent one gigantic body of unbelief, which God destroys at the end of the tribulation period. And I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great God. This is God's great supper. This is when God prepares that body on those hills of Israel, and this is where those people are taken. They are drawn to the power of God. We're in Revelation 19, 17. And they're going to be destroyed by God on the hills of Israel, and they're going to become buzzard bait. Verse 18, that you may eat the flesh of kings, the flesh of captains, the flesh of mighty men, and the flesh of horses, all of them that set upon them, and the flesh of all men, both free and bond, both small and great. All of those are unbelievers, and they're there for the final battle. They have taken the mark of the beast. They are worshiping his image, and they are worshiping him. And the flesh of all men, both free and bond, both small and great. And I saw the beast, Antichrist, and the kings of the earth, and their armies gathered together to make war against him, and set on the horse and against his army. They think that this is a gathering by the Antichrist, but God has sanctioned it, and God has drawn them there like he put hooks in their jaws, and this is God's great supper. And God takes them there. They are drawn there by God, and when God gets them in position just where he wants them, bingo, he's going to destroy them. And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth, and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. Now, while this is happening, we'll be in heaven. The rapture will have occurred before this. The saints will have been caught out. And the beast was taken. And with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into a lake of fire burning with brimstone. Now don't reject this because you've just heard it the other way all your life. Just judge the merits of it from the case I present from God's word. Verse 21, and the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceeded out of his mouth, and all the fowls were filled with their flesh. This is the supper of the great God. He fills the fowls, the eagles, the various types of vulturous birds were filled with their flesh. They represent the body to which all of these others are drawn, the ones that are taken, the one in the field, the one that's asleep, the one that's grinding. They're the ones that are taking the battle of Armageddon, both men and women. We have men, we have women fighting in all the armies of the earth now, just about. So there doesn't seem to be any great distinction between who goes to war and who doesn't. And that's where they're drawn, and they're going to be there at that body. How do I know God draws them there? How do I know they're taken there by God? Because the Bible says so. Revelation 16:16. And he gathered them together into a place called in the Hebrew tongue Armageddon. Now, that is the gathering. But the rapture occurs just before that. Go back to verse 15 before it. Revelation 16:16. He gathered them together into a place called in the Hebrew tongue Armageddon. That's when one is taken, one is left, all over the earth. Now look at verse 15, because this is the rapture, and it is a warning to God's saints. And I preached about it this morning, and I showed you its parallel in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, or 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Revelation 16:15, just before the gathering. Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth, and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked, and they see his shame. He's talking about a man who spoils his outer garments. He's talking about a man whose works are burned by the judgmental fire of Christ. He's talking a man standing at the judgment seat of Christ that's there saved, yet so as though he went by fire, looking about like a picked jaybird. You've heard me preach and teach what happened on the Temple Mount to the man who went to sleep and didn't watch how they burned his garments, and how the most embarrassing thing that ever happened to a Levite was to stand on the Temple Mount without his garments having been removed because they were set on fire by the temple guard that came there and caught him sleeping. And this is a warning to God's children that you had better wake up and you had better be faithful to God. I'm telling you, I don't know any other way to tell you this. I'd like to tell you we were going to be whisked out of here, Tippecanoe and Tyler too, and we'd all go home. But I'm your pastor, and I love you. And I'm telling you, what lies ahead for us in the future is not pleasant. And we might as well face it. I don't like to be a prophet of doom, but I want to be a prophet of truth. And the law and the prophets were until John, but I want to tell the truth. And the truth is, more and more you're going to see believers persecuted. Brent's devotional this morning, when he gave it, it couldn't have been more appropriate to put it before what I had to say today. Because we are going to be persecuted. You're going to see more and more us treated like a cult. Overseas Christians are going to be butchered by the barrel. And they already are being butchered in many of those countries right now. And in some of those areas where we're doing mission work, those guys that are over there now are going to have it a lot harder than they think they're going to have it. The church is going to be persecuted more and more by the spirit of Antichrist. And when the Antichrist shows up, it's going to be even worse. God does the gathering. Revelation 16:16, he gathered them together into a place called the Hebrew tongue Armageddon. He's the one that takes them over there. He's the one that took the one and left the other. Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. This is a warning from God about what's going to happen. It's not unique to this particular prophet. It's not unique to the book of Revelation. It is exactly the same thing that you see here. Ezekiel 39:1-5. Therefore, thou son of man, prophesy against Gog, Antichrist, and say, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I am against thee, O Gog, Antichrist, the chief prince of Meshach and Tubal. I've taught this here for so many years, you know where I believe Meshach and Tubal is, and you've seen the proof I present of it. It's what we call Lebanon and Syria today. And God's going to turn them back, but I want you to notice what he does to get them down there before he turns them back. And I will turn thee back and leave but the sixth part of thee. 5/6 of the Antichrist army is going to be destroyed by God, and God's going to pull them there. And if you go back to the first part of Revelation of Ezekiel 38, he puts hooks in the jaws like a man would put hooks in a wild hog's jaws and pull it down. And I will turn thee back and leave but the sixth part of thee, and will cause thee to come up from the north parts. These are when they're taken, and individuals are taken from all over the earth, and God's Spirit draws them there, and he gets them where he wants them, and then he zaps them, and will cause thee to come up from the north parts, and will bring thee upon the mountains of Israel. God does the bringing, God does the taking, and God does the leaving. And he's going to have those unbelievers just where he wants them, and the power of God is going to be manifested, and for 1,000 years the world will never forget it. And I will smite thy bow out of thy left hand, and will cause thine arrows to fall out of thy right hand. And thou shalt fall upon the mountains of Israel, thy and all thy bands, and the people that is with thee. That is the body that is coming over there, out of which those individuals that are taken will finally compose one great body of unbelief. I will give thee unto the ravenous birds of every sort, that's your eagles, and they're coming to devour that body of unbelief, and to the beasts of the field to be devoured. Thou shalt fall upon the open field, for I have spoken it, saith the Lord God. Now look at Ezekiel chapter 39, verses 17 through 22. And thou son of man, thus saith the Lord God, speak to every feathered fowl, and to the every beast of the field, assemble yourselves, and come, gather yourselves on every side to my sacrifice, that I do sacrifice for you, even a great sacrifice upon the mountains of Israel, that ye may eat flesh and drink blood. Ye shall eat the flesh of the mighty, and drink the blood of the princes of the earth, of rams, of lambs, and of goats, and of bullocks, and all the fattenings of Bashan. And ye shall eat fat till ye be full, and drink blood till ye be drunken of my sacrifice which I have sacrificed for you. Thus ye shall be filled at my table with horses and chariots, with mighty men, with all men of war, saith the Lord God. And I will set my glory among the heathen, and all the heathen shall see my judgment that I have executed, in my hand that I have laid upon them. So the house of Israel shall know that I am the Lord their God from that day forward. Brothers and sisters in Christ, God's going to take those people one by one, and he's going to assemble into one huge body, the greatest army that's ever been assembled on this earth, and they're going to hit down to destroy God's people. And God is going to destroy 5/6 of them, and those eagles that are headed for that gigantic body are headed for the ones that are taken. And that's not a catching out in the rapture, taking to heaven. This is a taking to the battle of Armageddon. And the ones that are left are not people that are going to be raptured. They're people that are going to be here when the Lord still comes back and will see him. The other people will have been resurrected, and the first resurrection in the rapture, before the battle of Armageddon. Acts 2:20-21. So what should a person do? The sun shall be turned into blood, shall be turned into darkness, the moon into blood, before that great and notable day of the Lord come. He tells you what you need to do before that great and notable day of the Lord come. Because if you wait until that great and notable day of the Lord come in the battle of Armageddon, it's finished. It's too late. What should you do? Acts 2:20, and here's 21. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That doesn't mean after the battle or during the battle. It means before that great and notable day of the Lord come. I do believe there's going to be a period of time right there at the very end where, my friend, nobody's going to be saved. Some people are going to be spared and allowed to go into the millennial reign. But when that rapture occurs, it's going to be so close to the end of the tribulation period, nobody during that brief period of time is going to have time to be saved. And if you don't call upon the name of the Lord before that great and notable day of the Lord come, you're not going to be saved, because that says, before that great and notable day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass, before that great and notable day of the Lord, that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So that's what I believe about those scriptures. And I hope that this church, each individual member of it, is praying and asking God to give them strength for the struggle that lies ahead. There's a struggle coming on this earth, and it's real, and it's genuine. And God, I believe, is preparing his people for it with the truth. And the truth is, it's nearer than a lot of people think. We're going to have one stanza of invitation, and then we're going to close. I'll tell you before the invitation that John Short is coming. This is my future son-in-law, and he has received Christ as his Savior. I talked to him this afternoon. He knows if he were to die, he'd go straight to heaven. His faith is in Christ. He doesn't believe he can lose his salvation. And I'm perfectly satisfied he knows Jesus as his Savior. He wants to be baptized. And so we talked about it this afternoon, and I told him I would ask the church tonight. So we're going to have an invitation. If anyone else would like to come, we'll have one stanza. That'll be your opportunity. And John's going to come, and I'm going to present him and ask you to vote on him. So what number, John?